Amen. Thank you, Dave. That was a good song. I like that. And I just like the way everything just ties together. God does that for us many, many times. His way is perfect. It always is. And we never have to worry about that. It's our way that gets pretty messed up. You know, we get in a lot of trouble doing our way, but God's way is always, always perfect. That is wonderful. It's been on, you know, a lot of us, for whatever reason, it's been on our minds a lot. I know just God's ways, and I preached this morning about how God answers why. When we ask why, what he tells us. You know, he gives us the verses. He tells us very clearly. And really, what it boils down to, we have to trust it. We have to trust that his way is perfect. And we praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles 20, and a passage that I read just this week, and just a great, great passage. There are so many that are like this, very similar to this, but this one, I'm just going to give you just short points, and there are several points, but just some things. I've entitled the message, could have called it many things. I thought of several different titles, but basically I'm going to call this When God Must Do It. When God Must Do It. And when God must do it is when you can't do it. That's when God has to do it. If it's going to get done, then if you can't do it, God has to do it. And there comes a time. And in this time, in this passage, it happens often in Scripture, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in a lion's den. I mean, there was nothing they could do. They took their stand, and then God had to do it. And so many times, God just has to do it. And whatever he does, it's going to be perfect. Amen. Whatever it is that he does. And if we would just all recognize that, hey, God has to do it. And so whatever it is that he does, it's going to be the right thing. It's going to be the perfect, perfect thing. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Okay, so you have the children of Moab, you have the children of Ammon, and you have others besides the Ammonites. There's a whole bunch, a large, large army coming against Jehoshaphat. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And then skip over to verse 12, and we'll cover these verses through the message. But notice what they say in verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." Okay, so they recognize there is no way they can do it. They know it is not possible for them in their strength, their weaponry, their armies. They know it's impossible for them to do it. They cannot defeat this company. And I love what it says in verse 12. "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." We just do not know what. You ever been there? I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Well, our eyes are upon thee. Have you ever wondered, and this could have tied in with this morning's message to some extent, maybe that's why it's happening. What do you mean? Our eyes are upon thee. Maybe that's why you're backed in the corner like you are. Maybe that's why the Red Sea is in front of you and it hadn't been parted yet. Maybe that's why the fiery furnace is burning. Maybe that's why the lion's den door is open. Maybe that's why the problem is where it is, because God wants you to get your eyes on him. Our eyes are upon thee. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the beautiful music tonight. Thank you for your many blessings to us. And you're such a good God. Your ways certainly are perfect, always. And help us tonight to listen and get exactly what we need from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When you can't do it, when God must do it, when you need a miracle. I'm not talking about you need more strength. I'm not talking about you need more wisdom. You're going to find out in this story, as we do in many, many times in the Bible, it's not a matter of us getting more strength, more wisdom. In fact, later on, God tells him, you just stand still and watch me. Amen. That is not necessarily a bad place to be. Stand still and watch me. No, what do you have? Lights. We have a white Pontiac Grand Am with lights on. And it'll be dead by the time service is over. Ohio license plate. So they deserve it. Just kidding. All right. Make sure you turn those lights off. We do not want your battery to be dead. All right. So, because God can't, he won't do that for you. You'll have to do that. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, there are so many things we can do. But there does come a time when God actually says, watch me. Okay, what are you going to do about the Red Sea, right? What are you going to do when the Egyptian army is coming? You know you can't fight them. And the Red Sea's, what? Just stand still and watch. Amen. And maybe you're in that position tonight where it's not that you need more strength. It's not that you need more wisdom. God just has to do it. Maybe tonight you don't need this, but I promise you someday you will. Yeah, maybe just this week. You know, this time last week, there were things we did not know that we were going to know later on. And we would have probably said, you know what? I don't really need this either. And yet something, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, maybe tomorrow morning, you know, you're going to find out that I've got something God has to do. I've got an impossible situation that God has to do. There was no way they could win this battle. Again, neither know we what to do. We don't know what to do. So let me just give you some points here. They're just short points, and they basically will speak for themselves. First thing I see here is a place. The place. Notice in verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together. What'd they do? They got people together. Amen. They got people together. And I like that. In verse 5, it goes on and says, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. They gathered together. Verse 9, notice what it says. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. I remind you, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And we need to gather together. Thank God for church. Thank God for God's people. Thank God that we can assemble. Thank God that you can get on the phone. You can call somebody and say, pray. And then they call somebody and say, pray. And then they call somebody and say, pray. And pretty soon you got a whole bunch of people praying. There was a point when I was in the hospital with Brother Bailey that as I talked to Brother Andy and talked to their daughter Margie, and we were all talking, we kind of got to thinking there were thousands of people praying. Thousands of people talking to the one who can. Amen. Take care of everything. There's got to be a place. Thank God for church. When you go to hospitals and you watch people and you see folks that they just can't seem to handle what's going on, and then you get around people that are saved, and you hear the talk, and you hear the positive things, and tears can turn to joy, and weeping can turn to laughter, and there's got to be a place where there's encouragement. It's so important that we realize we have that place. We have a church, and thank God for our church, and thank God that we can assemble. You need to be faithful to God's house, and when we assemble, you need to be faithful so much more. As you see the day approach, I wonder how many people were absolutely devastated because of the stock market. Now, I know we kind of tease about, you know, well, I don't have any stock. But there are people that, you know, their lives could be devastated like that over some of those kinds of things. Oh, thank God you can come to church. Thank God no matter what you find out, no matter what news, no matter what others talk about and the worst things that are going on in our world, thank God there's a place. Some come just needing something from God. Others not only need something from God, but they need to hear from other people and get those little yellow notes. Boy, folks, fill out those little yellow notes. Amen. Write little notes of encouragement to people. Encourage one another. We need a place where we can gather together. And that's the first thing that I notice here. Of course, there's the place, but number two is the prayer. The prayer. And they didn't just gather just to gather. They gathered because they wanted to pray and seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat, verse 3, when Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes I think maybe that's what happened, Jehoshaphat. Maybe God let you be in a place where you're scared so you'd seek the Lord. I don't know. Sometimes I fall on my knees and I find that maybe I wouldn't have fallen on my knees if there hadn't been the Egyptian army coming after me. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if maybe the Ammonites and the Moabites all got together and they charged just so that I'd get on my knees. Because, you know what, there's nothing I can do. God, I need you. Maybe that's why it's going on in your life. Maybe that's why your financial problem took place. I don't know. My Bible says Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Hey, do we sometimes get where we don't think we need His help? You know what? I'm making it. I go to work. I'm working my job. I get overtime every now and then. All the bills are being paid. Went to the doctor. He said everything's good. Went to the dentist. He said I've been a good boy. I went to the eye doctor. He says I can see. Everything's looking good. I'm feeling pretty good. And God says, but did you see the Ammonites? And did you see the Moabites joined them? And then all the other folks, they all got together and they're coming to get your gizzard. What am I going to do? God says, hello. Amen. Amen. Thank God for a place, but thank God we can pray. Thank God we can pray. I want to remind you that the Bible says ye have not because ye ask not. And sometimes we need to be put in a place where we do ask. God, I need you. Amen. You know, I just write out a check and all the bills. And God, I need you. Prayer. Prayer. You know, a lot of people follow this cycle, and it's a scary cycle. Number one, they get mad at God when they're surrounded, when it's a situation where they don't know what to do. They get mad at God. Please, 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 whatever you do, don't get mad at God. Don't ever get mad at God. Then they get mad at God, and eventually, if you're mad enough at God, you quit church. Do you understand? That's kind of like quitting going to the doctor because he told you you're sick. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, if you're going to tell me that I'm sick, I'm out of here. Kind of like my doctors, you know, when I had the diabetic issues and all that. And basically, the doctor here, my doctor, he said, you're fat. Well, now, you know, sad to say, that's what a lot of us do. You know, hey, God, you're going to let this happen to me. That's it. I'm out of here. And you just quit. You're quitting the place that can help you. Some folks go into sin. I got news for you, folks. God knows what He's doing. Get on your knees and pray. Sometimes I think God wants to just show us how powerful He is. And honestly, sometimes He wants to show us He's still a miracle-working God. And He is. He really is. Don't run from God. Run to God in prayer. Number one, there's a place. Number two, there's prayer. Number three, don't forget the past. I'm constantly going back to, God, I remember when you did this. God, I remember when you did that. And that's what happens here. Verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? He's thinking back, you're the God of heaven. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? God, aren't you over all those turkey buzzards coming after me? God, don't you rule over them? Aren't you in control? Didn't you make everything and you're God? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? You're not there. You're our God. Amen. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He's just looking back at the past. And he's saying, you know, God, you're the great God. You're not just any small g God. You're the great God. And you have done great things before, and I know you can do great things again. See, if you get mad at God, you don't do that. If you quit, you don't do that. The best thing in the world is to get on your face, get on your knees, and say, God, you've done it before. You can do it again. Do you ever find yourself reminding God how he parted the Red Sea? You say, no, I don't ever pray like that. Maybe it's because you've always turned around away from the Red Sea. Try going through it sometime. Try trusting him. You might see the Red Sea part every now and then. Amen? Amen. Oh, you know, I'll just join Egypt. That ought to take it. No. No. The best thing in the world is just keep on going. Trust the Lord. And remind him of the past. We need a place. We need a prayer. We need to think about the past. How about this? We need to plead. I'm afraid many of us, our prayers have become pretty formalistic. You ever get in that rut? You know, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Right? Just kind of ritual. Well, you know, I'm doing my thing. But sometimes we just need to plead with God. Sometimes he wants us to plead with him. Are you listening to me? When is the last time that you really begged God for something? I remember as a new Christian, a group of guys got together in our church, and I was just not that far removed from being a rock singer and drummer, and they said we want you to sing in our little group here, and I'm thinking, I don't know if they really want me to sing because I have a certain way, and I said, what's the song? And the song was, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord? And I couldn't sing the song because I never had, really. Are you listening to me? I couldn't sing it. It was a very convicting song. And just practicing, I realized, you know, I've never really done what that song says. I've never really spent time with God. But there were some times after that I spent all night with God. And there's been so many times, 2, 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever in the morning, just spending time pleading with God to do something. It's kind of like took place here, verse 8, they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, he's pleading with God. Here's what they did. Abraham is thy friend forever. They dwelt therein. They built thee a sanctuary, God. And if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. And then thou wilt hear and help. What do they say? They say, God, you know that I'm trying. God, you know I'm doing all I can do. God, we built the house for you. Lord, take care of your people. Lord, I'm your people. You're the only one that can help us, God. Nobody else can help. Have you ever pleaded with God like that? I'm talking about where you just really bug him. Again, I remind you, the scripture says, according to your faith, be it unto you. What if every prayer request was determined by your faith? I'm going to pray about it, but I don't think God's going to do anything. You're probably right. God, I know you can do anything. God, I know that you will. You have done unbelievable things. And why not me, God? I'm your child. Why wouldn't you do it for me, God? I love you. Why wouldn't you do it for this person? This person. I don't know how many times this week, God, they love you. They love you. And you love them. And why wouldn't you do it for them? Oh, I think there's a lot of times where we just sort of ritualistically go through our prayers when we need to plead with God. And then I wrote down this word, number five, and that's patience. Patience. You say, well, you know, I prayed. Keep praying. Plead. And then be patient. Notice verse 12, we already read it, but I love this. But our eyes are upon thee. Eyes upon him. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are on you. We're watching you. We don't know what to do. Oh yeah, but you've done what you need to do. You put your eyes on him. Peter, he walked on water, but he started to sink because he took his eyes off of him. I know, you and I, we wouldn't even got out there. I'm never going to be real hard on Peter. I'm going to tell you this, though. If he'd have just kept his eyes on... Yeah, but the wind and the waves, and I know, and that's what all of our problem... That's our problem. It's the wind and the waves and the Ammonites and the Moabites and all the other critters. Amen. But if we keep our eyes on him and be patient, we're going to wait on you, God. We're waiting, we're watching, and I'm not able. I'm going to wait. My eyes are on you. Number one, there's a place we can gather. Two or more can gather. There's a prayer that we can pray. You have not because you ask not. There's the past where God has already done many, many marvelous things we've seen him do. There's pleading with God, begging God, late at night, early in the morning, begging God to do something. And then there's patience. Just, God, my eyes are on you. Number six, there's preaching. There's preaching. In verse 14, the Bible says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I remind you, the Bible says to the preacher, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Amen. What's exhort? It's kind of like cheerleading. Amen. It's kind of like, hey, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And when you can't go on anymore and you've done all that you can do, you can look to him and he's going to fight for you. Amen. Amen. I mean, the exhortation that must take place. In verse 20, it says, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established, believe his prophets. So shall ye, I like that word, prosper. Amen. You know what? God has something for you. That's why we come to church. We come to church because we can pray. It's a place we can gather and we can talk to one another. We can pray. We can get encouragement. But we need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the preaching. God has something for you. God has something that will help you if you and I would just listen to what he's saying. It amazes me in a crowd like this how one person gets one thing, another person gets another thing, another person gets another thing, and another person gets another thing, and there's only one thing being preached. And the sad thing is there are so many that get nothing because they're just not listening. I'm amazed how so many times somebody can say, you know, that is just exactly what I needed. And they'll say what they needed and somebody else will come and say, you know what? That was exactly what I needed and they were not the same thing. And then inevitably somebody will say, you know what? I got nothing out of that. What's wrong with you? I'll say, you know, I don't know. It's just the Bible. Oh, folks, we need to open up our hearts. We need to come with, as that evangelist, Brother Hawtrey said, a spirit of expectancy. And you know, I'm going to tell you when you really pay attention is when Moab and the Ammonites and all the ites are coming after you. And when the ites have you surrounded, I guarantee you'll listen then. When you have reached a place where I don't know what to do it's amazing how we our ears perk up and we listen. Again, it's not God. I'm not God, but I'm God's man. And whoever's behind this pulpit is God's man for that. We ought to listen every time. Every time. As long as they're preaching God's word. Amen. Amen. And I promise you this. You know, college chapel, there were some chapel services. It was tough. You know, you have a college schedule. You work your job. You guys know about that. You're heading back to college. And you work that job. And then you have to go to chapel. And maybe you have you guys have classes first. I did. I remember class at 8 o'clock after working all evening, the evening before and much of the day before. And then class at 8. And then you have class. And then you have chapel. And some of those chapel times, I'm telling you, it was like, And did you know you can sleep with your eyes open? Some of you do very well in church. But I mean, it was tough some of those times. But I'm going to tell you when it was never tough. It was never tough when I could not pay the bill. It was never tough when I could not put food on the table. It was never tough when we got news from home that somebody was sick or when my wife didn't feel well or something. It was never tough to sit in chapel then. Then I'm on the edge of my seat listening. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. God, you got to tell me what to do. And I'm just taking anything I can get from the Word of God preached by the man of God. Preaching. It is essential. Prayer. Preaching and the past and all that God has done and the place that God has allowed us to be in, all these things. But there's nothing like number seven, and that's the presence. The presence of the Lord. Verse 15. It's what the preacher said, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." What? God's? Yeah, he's here. He's here. It's going to be all right. Isn't it wonderful when you just know it's going to be all right? Isn't it wonderful when God's presence is obvious to you? What's he saying? He's saying the battle is not Israel versus Moab. The battle is not Judah versus the Ammonites. The battle is God versus Moab and the Ammonites and all the ites. God's going to take care of it. It's not you versus the devil. It's God versus the devil. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that's a small h that is in the world. Do you believe that? God's presence. Don't forget that. You're saved. He's in your heart. You're saved. He can control your life. You're saved. He's not going to let anything happen to you that he doesn't know about. Nothing's going to come to you that God doesn't allow. You say, yeah, but I'm a little nervous about that. Look at Job. Yeah, look at Job. Who's the one that initiated the whole thing? God did. God said, "Consider my servant Job." You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't. I'm going to tell you something. Job today is absolutely thrilled that he was counted worthy for God to say, "Consider my servant." Now, again, I'll be honest with you. I'm not one to get on my knees and say, "God, just let me have it." But I do know this. I know that if he needs to let me have it, he'll let me have it. And if he chooses to let me have it, I just hope that I stand like Job did. But I do know this, I'm not alone. And my friend, no matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what you're going to face tomorrow, you're not alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. His presence, and that leads me to his protection. In verse 16, the Bible says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." He says, you just go ahead. You do whatever you can do. I am going to protect you. It is not time to hide. It is not time. I mean, I'll be honest with you. As I read this, I think, you guys better run. God says, you go ahead and face them. Just go right out there. I have it under control. It's not time to go hide in your room. It's not time to go find a corner to cower in. No, it's time to do whatever you can do, whatever you've always done. Don't sit around. Get busy doing whatever you can do, because the battle's the Lord's. His protection is there, and he is ready, quite ready, to protect you from whatever this is. And then we see the position. And this is, it amazed me. I read this, and I've read it who knows how many times. I get a kick out of it. So here they've all assembled. They've gone ahead, and instead of hiding somewhere, they've gone right out to face an impossible situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no way they're going to win this battle. They cannot win the battle of their own power. And so, verse 17, one of the amazing battle plans. Someday I'm going to preach on the amazing battle plans of the Bible. Amen. How about Gideon? You know, get your trumpets and your lamp and your, unbelievable. Well, here's another one. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Wait a minute, you just assembled us all. Did you ever think maybe he assembled them so they could watch it? It's hard to watch things under your bed, except the things that are under your bed. Now you're scared of that. No, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Stand ye still? Yeah. How about hold up my shield? Nope, just set yourselves. Be prepared and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. But just stand still. You're not going to need to fight. Really? Wow. The position. Stand still. Whew. Do you know, sometimes the battle is like that. There's just nothing I can do. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to do everything I can do. And then God says, now, just sort of get out of my way and let me do what I do. I love that. You know what? I'm always glad for God to do whatever he does. I'm always very, very glad when he does. You say, yeah, but it could be in the nick of time. Praise the Lord. Isn't that okay? Well, I was nervous about that. Yeah. Stand still. The position. That's when there's nothing you can do. Okay, you've done it all. What else? Now watch. And that brings me to the very last thing. And verse 22 says it. So they did. They all came. They rose early in the morning. Verse 20. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. And all those things. And when he consulted with the people, verse 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Swordsmen? No, singers. Tank operators? No, singers. Pilots? No, they didn't have airplanes. Nuclear weapons coordinators? No, singers. Says singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. Well, it'd be tough nowadays since so many churches don't believe that holiness is beautiful. Don't let that slip by you. There's a whole movement today that says holiness is not needed. Look it up sometime, how many times the Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. And here, he says you need to praise the beauty of holiness. And it says, as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, wait a minute. Here comes the enemy. They're all coming. The Moabites, the Ammonites, all their army. Here's the little army that cannot beat them. They cannot win. I know we have the privilege of reading the scriptures. They didn't. They didn't know how it was going to end. And here they are, ready for this battle to take place. Totally trusting God. But seriously, what else could they do, right? They said, there's nothing else we can do. God says, I got it. I got it all under control. And so God said, all right, when you see the whites of their eyes, praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I love that. We see the whites of their eyes. God's going to let me down. God's going to fail me. God isn't going to come through. There they are. They can almost throw their spear. They can almost shoot an arrow. I mean, they're that close. God said, oh, no, don't do that. Just praise the Lord. And if you can imagine this, the armies are coming. You see the whites of their eyes, and all of a sudden, God's people, probably some squeamly little fella in the back that just believed God. I heard an old story, how the Savior came. And then over here, the basses joined in, from glory. And then the sopranos over here, how he gave his... Well, anyway, and pretty soon the whole choir is saying, oh, victory in Jesus. They're all singing and praising the Lord. And the enemy, you know, they got to be thinking, what are these nuts doing? And verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Yeah, you know, either everybody hit the wrong notes and their hearing went, or I don't know what happened, but for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Isn't that something? And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. You know what it reminds me of? That reminds me of Paul and Silas. Talked about that this morning, you know. There was nothing they could do. They're in shackles. Backs are bloodied, been beaten. Nothing they can do. Paul, what are you going to do? Well, Silas, I don't know. What do you think we ought to do? Well, Paul, I don't know. What does God tell you we should do? Well, all I can think about doing right now is just praising God. When there's nothing else to do and you don't know what else, how about trying praising God? And I can imagine Paul begged God to get him out. I can imagine Silas probably begged God to get him out. But you know what? They didn't have the strength to break the bars. I don't think they thought that somehow they would get the wisdom to be able to break out of the prison. So what are you going to do? Well, I guess Paul looked over at Silas and Silas looked over at Paul, and maybe they said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wicked, vile wretch like me. And the tears started going down their cheeks and they're praising God, and all of a sudden, amen. Who you suppose did that? God. Have you ever wondered why they didn't die in the earthquake? Because God was the earthquake. And he did it to free them when God has to do it. How about praising him? Boy, I'll tell you, it'll beat griping. When God must do it. Bible says, verse 24, none escaped. And then look what God did in verse 25. This is just the extra thing. When God does it. Now, you might get yourself out of a mess and you might finagle something to get out of a situation. But look what happens when God does it. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies. These guys all were rich. Isn't that something? Boy, I'll tell you, God's people sure were lucky. We don't believe in luck, Harold. But they had riches with it and precious jewels. All these guys, they probably had earrings, diamonds, the guys. And And they had precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were, watch this, 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, here you're going from, I don't know what I'm going to do, to 3 days of gathering the spoil because it was so much. How? That's the only way. There isn't any other way. And that's our God. That's your God. The place you come together, you ask people, please pray, please pray, please pray. I would appreciate your prayers. The prayer, spending time with God, asking. You have not because you ask not. The past, God, you've done it before. You've done it so many times, the pleading with God. Oh, God, I'm your child, and we love you, and we serve you, and we want to keep serving you. And then the patience, just waiting. And then coming and listening to the preaching of the Word of God, where God will give you that word, that phrase, that message, those points, whatever it is, to help you, to make it, and to trust Him. And then the presence of God, that when God puts His arms around you and says, it's okay, I've got it under control, be not afraid, and His protection, His divine protection, where you don't have to hide, you don't have to run, you don't have to cower. Hey, my God can do anything. And the position when He says, okay, now you stand still and watch and see, and God, what I'll do is I'll praise you. And just watch the victory take place. You'll never, ever, ever, ever go wrong with praise. You'll never regret praise. You never will. You'll regret griping. You'll regret bitterness. You'll never regret, I just praised the Lord. What'd you do about it? I just praised His name. Well, there wasn't anything else I could do. So I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.